Thank you, Michael, and the band. I love to worship. Somebody's lost the marbles, and it's not me. No comment. Don't be tempted. I could almost hear the thoughts of, you might not think so, but we know better. When we're worshiping, it's probably the time I most regret. Where's Rosie? Is she out with the kids? It's the time I most regret not being able to sign. You know, signing for the deaf. Oh, there you are. Rosie knows why I'm referring to her there. Because actually, sometimes when we're signing, it just makes us think a little bit more about what we're singing and what we're worshiping. I remember when I ran the children's work at TVCC, I think I might have told you the story, but we had a family arrived, and the eldest daughter was profoundly deaf, and they'd never been able to leave her with a children's work, and it was a challenge for them because at that point, children's work was so large, we were in a separate building altogether, so we had children's church all morning. They dropped the kids off there and we did a whole morning of worship and teaching with them, and then went off to a church in the town. So it was quite a task for anybody to leave their kids, but to leave a child who they knew was profoundly deaf was quite hard for them. But as it happened, God had brought us into a position where just before that we'd had a girl who learnt signing, and she was teaching us the signing to the choruses, and actually she was able to sign to the child the whole lesson, and so they were able to leave this child, and that child actually now is such a lovely woman of God. That's another story, but the reason I tell that story is just I found so much in those years when we would sign the children's choruses, "Stir my heart, O Lord," that I would be thinking so much more about the words that I'm singing. Sometimes we can get quite used to the words we're singing, can't we, and miss so much truth of what's in there. Anyway, that's not this morning's sermon. It's just a throwaway. So this morning's sermon is going to possibly sound as though it cuts right across what Kevin said, but actually the two go together. But first of all, in the Neil Strike version of School of Bible teaching, we're going to do a little bit of theology before we start. My style, my level, very accessible. Okay, so what is this book? We've had it before. Why? It's flipping ends. Philippians. Philippians. It's flipping ends. I know, it's terrible. They get worse. Philippians. It also, this slide gives us hints to two key words in the book of Philippians, because he's a happy bull. How do we know he's happy? He's smiling and he's humming. Humble. He's a humble. Philippians, two key words are happy and humble. You might say, gosh, Neil, I want to tell you, when you start to learn the Bible, if you're out like me, I'm terrible at remembering facts. I'm terrible at that sort of information does not sit well with me. But I have pictures in my head that remind me of various bits of the Bible that I wouldn't otherwise remember because of these. They are terrible, but actually if you commit them to your mind, let's turn the recording off for a minute. When he's writing, general, in prison, he's in prison. There's some debate, as Richard will probably tell you, There is some debate about which prison, which time it is, whether he's in Rome, whether he's, where is he, but he's incarcerated in some way, either in a horrible prison or in home, a home situation where he's restricted in where he can go, but he's not free. But yet, his main theme is humble and happy, content, joy. There's a lot of that in. If you read the book of Philippians, that's a lot of what you will find. And it is important for us to know the context that we look into some of these talks. So that's the context of this book. Does anybody know the main purpose that he starts out writing the book? What's his main purpose? You're getting a bit of theology this morning, just to whet your appetites and think, I'll go on the School of Bible. Anybody know what the main purpose at the start? Go on, Richard. Yeah. He's thanking them for the gift that they've given him, for the work of ministry. He starts that off. But actually, like all good preachers, it's not very long before he's into, oh, while I'm on, here's a few things for you to take note of. Here's a few things for you to learn. But I want to look at one particular verse more than anything of this book. I want to pick a verse out. So who knows who this man is? Where did that come from? I heard the name, but shout it out. From that's right. And what show is he on? Mastermind. What's his catchphrase? I've started, so I'll finish. So, yes. I've started and I will finish. If you go on to the next slide now. I know you like that bit, but it is only a little bit. I started, so I will finish. Or those sort of words he says, doesn't he, all the time. Anybody got a clue from that? What is the verse we are looking at this morning? Philippians 1:6, which says, Paul says, but I'm confident up there. I'm confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion. I sort of think of that in the old AV, I'm afraid. So for me, it's confident is the very thing. He who began a good work will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. That's our text this morning. Paul, who went through many trials, believe me, he had a lot of prayers. He was confident in God. His confidence wasn't in anything else or anybody else. His confidence was in God. And that's where our confidence needs to be. So I just want to look at a few things from this verse this morning. It's a very simple message this morning, but don't lose the truths that are in this simple message this morning. I'm a dry preacher. No need to agree with me that much, Kevin. First thing I want is a very simple point out of this. Who is it that's begun the work? God. God has begun the work. A confidence of this very thing that he who begun the work. It's not what we've done. Back to that old chorus. It's not, it's all about me. It's all about you. God has begun the work. You know, we know that really. But the truth is, sometimes we start to try and do the work ourselves. God begins it, but we think we can just help out a bit. Maybe God's not quite doing it fast enough. Maybe not quite doing it the way I want him to do it. Maybe That's not really the direction I want to go, Lord. Maybe we could just go this way. Sometimes we remember that God started the work, but we start to meddle a bit. Anybody like me, bit of a meddler? I bet Kevin has had times when he was building where he's in somebody's house and he's the builder. He's the one with all the expertise, but whoever's in the house wants to just help a little bit and get in the way. I was doing a little job for Elaine's dad this week and he was desperate to help me. I was desperate to say, will you just go in the house? Because it's making it harder. But he wanted to help. We do, don't we? We want to help. And sometimes we try to help God at times when he really just wants to say, just let me do it. So first simple point is, it's God. God is doing the work. Let him do it. Let him do it. My second point, God only does good work. God doesn't know how to do a bad job. I sometimes do. I've done some really bad jobs in my time. I could tell you so many stories. I told this story, I think, when I first came here. So a lot of you won't have heard it, but I can be a bit of a DIY person when I want to be. I can also be a bit of a, you shouldn't have started this in the first place, when I want to be. And when we lived in Yarm, the house that we had before we came here, we had one of these electric showers in the bathroom. Stephen already will know this story and know where I'm going. And it packed in, and I needed a new shower. Not a great problem. So I thought, best way to do this is find exactly the same shower so that it's a straight swap. What could be harder? What could possibly go wrong? So I found the right shower. And it was in the box there. And it waited for a week or so, and a little bit longer, and Elaine said, when are we going to get the shower fixed? So one morning, I was off work. I got up and, bear in mind, classic mistake. Before Elaine had got a chance to use the bathroom, I said, I'm going to go and change the shower over. It was going so well. Electric off, disconnected, take all the front off. It had push-on connectors on the pipes that it was dead tight. Hardly any, the plumber had left hardly any room at all. I was fighting with these push-on connectors. In truth, I'd forgotten that you push the little top down so that it pops out. I'm thinking, why can't I get this out? Driving away, I couldn't get it out. And I had damaged one of the pipes. So I've now got a problem because it's beyond me now. We had one of those glass sliding doors at the side of to keep the water out. Beautiful glass. We just had all the bathroom done. Brand new bath. Lovely tiles. Beautiful proper tiled floor. The bathroom was beautiful. Elaine had wanted this for years. She'd wanted it done. We just had it done and spent a fortune on it. You're getting the picture, aren't you? I rang a friend of mine and said, look, I've got this problem. Can you bring the little pipe cutters, the small pipe cutters to get in? Because I need to trim the end off this pipe so as I can fix it. So he said, yeah, I'm coming. I'll come round. And within no time at all, he was there and he was in the bathroom with me. And he was trying to get this pipe cutter on. He just happened to nudge a little bit the bath outside door panel with his shoulder, which unfortunately came out of its hinges at that time and fell. It hit the wall on that side. It hit the tiles on the floor and cracked them. He dropped what he was holding, which chipped the bath. At which point, there was glass everywhere, because the door had now smashed. The bathroom door was open, so the glass was all down the stairs. Elaine, by this time, still in a dressing gown, because she hadn't been able to get in the bathroom, was at the bottom of the garden, sat on a little pagoda that we had, with her head in her hands. I want to tell you, I was not top of the pops that day. In fact, I wasn't top of the pops for a little while. But God does a good job. It got almost fixed. I managed to get a new panel. I got the tiles replaced. The little chip in the bath had to stay. It was that or a claim on the insurance policy, which I wasn't doing. But she forgave me, because she loves me. But God doesn't have disaster stories like I do. Sometimes we can feel as though it's a bit like that. But it's not like that, because God knows what he's doing. God has a plan. God knows when and where. Not like me, he picks his timings right. God knows what he's doing. God is a good God who does a good job. So God is the one that's doing the work. God always does a good job, even when it doesn't feel as though it is. I've been very Assembly of God, Pentecostal, Apostolic this morning. I'm in a 3-point sermon. Do the Anglicans do that as well, Richard? They go for 3-point sermons. My last point is this. God always finishes what he started. Like Magnus Magnusson. He started and he'll finish. Sometimes it doesn't always feel that way. But God always finishes what he starts. And yes, there is a level where we are complete. But like most themes in the Bible, there is a present and there's a continuing future. And I don't know about you, but I know very clearly God's still got work to do in me. I'm not the finished article, you might be surprised to know. Or you might not be. We live in a day where we want everything instantly, don't we? I cooked my tea last night because Elaine's at work in Teesside. How did I cook it? In a microwave. Because I want it quick and it's easy. Or we go down to the fast food restaurant and if it's not fast enough, we're not happy. What a wait. I've had to wait 5 minutes for my burger. It's terrible. How terrible. Or we send a text or an email to somebody and they don't reply straight away. And we get so frustrated. Why are they not replying? Now some of my team are thinking that's a good excuse for why I don't answer my emails for 3 months. It's not an excuse. But we do, don't we? We at one instant, everything. And sometimes we can be like that with God. We know he started the work. We know he does a good work. We know he'll finish it, but we want it quicker. We want everything to happen so much quicker. How many of you have projects at home that you haven't finished yet? Is any of you people who always finish projects? Is anybody? Oh, Nikki. I can believe that, actually. Is there anybody that actually, on a scale of 1 to 10, if you asked how often you start a project and don't finish, it would be high. You have more unfinished projects than finished projects. Anybody want to confess to that, Joel? Yeah. Here's a little project I started. If you're in the know, keep quiet here, okay? So next slide. This is something I got for my 60th birthday. Anybody got a guess what it is? It's Lego. Anybody want to have a guess at what the finished article might be, if you don't already know? A what? Star Destroyer. You're warm. You're warm. Let's try the next one. There's some hints in there for those who really know. Millennium Falcon. Yeah, let's go on to the next one. That's the finished article. Look, oh no, that's the finished article. There we are. Millennium Falcon. One of my projects I finished. that's it partway through, and then the last one was it's finished. I did finish that project, and I've done another one since. But I could quite easily. I've seen me start jigsaws, and you know, I had one of these boards that I used to do jigsaws on. You could leave the pieces out and fold it away, put it under the bed. The last jigsaw I started, this is true, I started in our house in Yarm. It lasted so long. And in the end, I'd left it so long because it was getting hard that one day I said to Elaine, "Where's my jigsaw board?" She said, "I threw it out." I said, "I was doing that jigsaw." She said, "Most of those pieces have gone up the Hoover while they've been waiting to be fitted." So that was the end of that. So I'm not always the best at finishing. But God is in the business of finishing what he starts. Some of us need to hear that this morning. Because some of us feel, God's never going to do anything with me. I'm never going to be right. I'm always going to fail. I'm always going to get it wrong. I had an email this week and last week, and it's a friendly email, not a non-friendly email, a female with heart for me. And it was about other things, but in the email, the person said, referred to the last time I preached and referred to something I said about my life to date being wasted. And I understood the heart of what they were saying. But actually, I just want to come back to that again because it's appropriate for this talk as well. That what I was saying, and I explained this back in the email, was in the context of, I know my life's not wasted. I'll touch on that in a minute. But when I look at the fruitfulness and the evangelistic fruit of my life over the last years, relative to what I think it could have been and should be, it feels like a waste. And actually, my heart is that compared to what the future is, it will feel like a waste because I don't want the future for me to be the same level as it's been. I want something bigger. I want something better. I want something more. I know my life generally hasn't been a waste. In fact, Elaine and I constantly share together and say how God's been good, how God's been good in this, how God's been good in that. I was out in the garden this morning. What a beautiful day, wasn't it, to start this morning? And I went out into the garden and I stood looking across the valley where we live and just thanking God for all the good things, for all that he's done for us through our life, for bringing us here to this beautiful place, for the beautiful home we have, for the privilege of leading this church. I am thankful for all that God has done in my life, through my life, for my family. But I want more. And I don't think it's wrong to want more. And I'm glad that, like Paul, I can say I'm confident of this, that God is still at work in me. God will still work and complete his work in me. But he wants me to cooperate. He wants me to do my part. Whatever God is asking of you, all he wants you to do, and Nick last weekend touched on this. All God wants you to do is take the next step. Not looking for you to suddenly sprint. He just wants you to take the next step. What is God wanting to do in your life? What is it that God's about at the moment? Will you just take that next step and let him continue the work that he started in you? God wants to finish the work he started in you. God wants to finish the work he started in me. God wants to finish the work he started in HCC. And he will. But he wants us to cooperate. He wants us to be partnering with him in allowing him to do that. What is God asking of you at the moment? Two of the questions if anybody's seen my list of discipleship questions, things that we should be looking for when we're asking about discipleship. Two of the most important questions on my list, again, Nick touched on it last weekend, is what is God saying to you? And Nick's second question was, what are you going to do about it? My question when I'm asking people, disciples, I want to know, what is God saying to you and how can I help you with that? Similar questions, but two very important questions. What's God saying to you? What are you going to do about it? Because that's how God finishes the work, by continually letting us take the next step and the next step and continually asking him the right questions. My daughter has been through, some of you know, a bit of a time with selling her house recently. And felt that for various reasons they needed to move nearer the church where they're part of, and other reasons as well. They put the house on the market, and they got to within an hour of signing contracts. The house was packed, all the boxes were packed. They were ready to go down, sign the contracts, and in that hour, the people pulled out. And it was all suddenly thrown into confusion, and we spent that next day with them getting all the boxes into storage so that the house looked suitable for people to look round, all that sort of thing. And so Leanne in the end said, I'm going to give it to a certain date, and we'll see. If not, we'll take it off the market. And that was all tied in as well with the cost of storage and all sorts of things. And so she did that, and people came round and looked, and nothing was happening. They lost the house that they were about to buy. That went. And I got a text this week. She'd got to the point where I'd helped them move all the stuff back into the house. They were beginning to unpack. She said, we're just going to have to stay here. And we kept talking about the 11th hour. And past 2 days past the date when she'd said, she got an offer that was acceptable. And she texted me and said, what do I do, Dad? And she said, I've had all this uncertainty. We haven't got a house to go to. If I accept this offer, I've got another 3 months uncertainty. What do I do, Dad? And I began to advise her on what I thought she'd do. But I said, my final thoughts were this. Leanne, whatever happens here, it's important you ask the right questions. You need to ask, God, what do you want to teach me here? God, what is it you want me to learn from this? What do you want to do in me through this? They're the important questions. There is a sense of knowing where God wants you to live, all of that sort of stuff, but a bigger question is, what is God saying and doing in me and through me? Whatever your situation is, you know, whether it's a house, whether it's a job, whatever it is, what is God wanting you to learn from that? And how is that going to be part of Him completing the work that He has started in your life? Because that's what God wants to do. He doesn't want you to stay where you are. He wants you to move on. No matter where you are in your walk of life, in your spiritual walk of life, doesn't matter where you are, early or the end, He wants to complete that work. He wants to do more. Will you let Him do more? Mike and Kate, as you go to Oxford, God's not finished. He wants more. He's got more for you. He wants to do more with you and through you. He's completing His work. You've got a lot more years ahead of you for Him to do that. There are others, Stephen and Mary. God's brought you together, not just for a good marriage, but so that if you give yourself to Him wholeheartedly, He can take you on an adventure like you've never had before. That's God's plan for you. That's His purpose for you. But He wants you to partner with Him on that. Richard and Sue, as I was preparing this, I felt for you. I felt God say, well done, good and faithful servants. You've served me so well and still serve me so well. I don't know how many of you know what Richard and Sue are involved in. They get involved in LL and other things as well, and counseling people's lives. And, you know, Richard's time as a rector. I felt God say, specifically your names came up, and God say, and there's still more. I'm not finished. I've got a great work for you. I'm going to bless you. I could go on. Because God's got plans and purposes for each one of you. Pete, it's been a long journey with that job, hasn't it? But God's got plans. And God wants to teach you through it. God wants to speak to you through it. And I think in the coming days, more than ever, the question for, so what do you want me to hear here, Lord? It's a key question for you. When you were baptized the other week, that wasn't just a symbol. That was God saying, I'm doing this. I want you to do this, Pete, because it's a new day. It's a new day. Enter in with all your heart, with all your soul, because God's got good things for you. This is God. Tony and Joe, your names came to my mind this morning as I was preparing this. And similarly to Richard and Sue, I just felt it can feel like the end of a life feel. We've done our bit. We've worked hard. We'll sit back and we can rest. And actually God says, no. There's more. But we've had so many people, and you have, and you've done a great job. But there's more. It might be different, but there's more. Christine and Derek, you came to mind as well. I felt God say, you have such a generous, loving, open spirit. You've opened your hearts, you've opened your lives, you've opened your house. I felt God say, what He wants for you is to go deeper. A time of going deeper. Derek, for you, God wants to take you deeper. He's got more for you. And actually, there's more of you that we are yet to see. There is so much in you that isn't out yet. And that's not a criticism. That's an encouragement. Because I think I admire you. You're a wonderful man with a wonderful heart. God wants to do more in you as a couple. There's a call over you, Derek, to reach men, to touch men. You can speak to and relate to men. God wants to do some of that in and through you. And actually, today more than anything, we need people who will reach men. Don't just take these things, take them away and pray about them. But God has a work that he's planning for each one of you. Just because I haven't named you doesn't mean to say God's not got a plan for you. I can only name the ones I felt God put on my heart. But I know it's true for all of us. God wants to do in and through us a great work. Let him do it. Let him do it. What is God saying to you this morning? What are you going to do about it? And I'll add the rider. How can I help you? How can I help you to take that next step that Jesus is asking you to take? I can't tell you what it is. You've got to find that one out. But I will do everything I can to help you do it if you want to do it. And so will each leader in this church. Will you stand with me while I pray? And then I'm going to hand back over. Lord, I want to thank you this morning for your faithfulness, for your love. For each one of us can look back and see how you brought and marked our steps through the years. Each one of us can look back and see the blessings. And we thank you so much for those blessings. But God, we want more. We want to see you do more. We want to see you do those greater things. We want you to do those greater things in and through our lives. We're confident in you. Confident that you started a work in our lives. We're confident that you are doing a good work in our lives. And we're confident that you will finish the work. But this morning, we want to say, we want to do our part. We want to partner with you this morning and say, come, Lord, do even more than we can think or imagine. In our lives, in our families, in this church, in this area, in our nation. Come and do great things. We say, Holy Spirit, you are welcome here. Come. Complete your work. In your name. Amen. God bless you.